Friday in your sloppy drive home. Lauri Markkanen is out for 4 to 6 weeks. He has a pelvic issue that an MRI determined. Did it affect his play beforehand? We'll find out from Jim Boylan before tonight's game. So Lowry's out, minimum of 4 to 6 weeks. Lots of injuries. Sox Fest going on at McCormick Place. Just kick it off right about now. We've talked a lot about the Astros situation because Dallas Keuchel talked about it today.
He kind of talked around it, didn't he? Yes, now, again, yes. I'm speaking without having full knowledge of how in-depth his comments were and what exactly he was asked. My assumption is the White Sox are speaking from the Sox Fest with all of the enthusiasm that is surrounding this team right now. The last thing they probably want to do is spend time talking about this. But at some point, this is going to be an in-depth conversation, I'm sure, for Dallas Keuchel and Sox reporters.
And by the way, the Bears fans, if you're a season ticket holder, you got a letter today or an email from Ted Phillips. Usually when Ted Phillips is emailing, it's usually not good news because it has nothing to do with football and it probably has to do with something that you have to pay the price for. Bears fans were informed today that season ticket prices are going up nearly 4%. I believe it's like 3.9%, and I believe non-club tickets are going up more than that. And as Meller said, that means a lot of the other tickets are going up too, because especially in the secondary market, it's where people sell their tickets. He explained he tried to style up this past year that we had by saying that we had this great 100th season celebration. You got two new statues with the Halas and Peyton statue. Like, that had anything to do with the fan experience this year. I mean, that's been overdue. And then he said, hey, look, it's just, we're going to have to raise the cost of your tickets. And is that the cost of doing business, or is that foul from a team that went 8-8 and thoroughly underachieved?
Maybe they will revert back to having their fan festival that they used to have, the convention or whatever it was. It's been gone for quite some time now, but Greg Braggs called us earlier and wasn't happy, and he's as diehard as it gets.
And now he's mad at us. Do you know that?
Why?
Because he thinks he got cut off for the Lauri Markkanen news.
He did get cut off for the Lauri Markkanen news.
I thought he was done talking.
No, but I mean, listen, we gave him an opportunity, and we will continue to talk about what he had to say. But the Lauri Markkanen news was bigger than, I think, at the moment, than the frustration of even our favorite Bears fan.
As a P1 of the show, he should know that
breaking
hot chatter has no mercy on anyone.
No.
Guest, caller, Waddle, Sylvie, anyone can be cut off with hot chatter.
I was in the process of responding to Greg to say, yeah, I get why he's so distraught about it. But listen,
so he was pretty pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, and his suggestion was more about, hey, or I think he understands, to paraphrase for him, that this is the nature of the beast, that you're going to get ticket prices raised. But like, they got rid of the fan fest, whatever it was called. I participated in several times. I thought it was a really nice way to interact with fans. They got rid of it. Maybe because they've eliminated the trip to Bourbon A, that this will be something that they do. Well, listen, this is reality in 2020 in professional sports, at least the NFL. I don't know how many NFL teams to this date now continue to go away. I know that the Dallas Cowboys, they actually have training camp in California. I'm sure it happens with a lot of teams, but this was inevitable with the Bears investing $100 million in their facility. And I would ask you, as a Bears fan, if it's best for the team, isn't that what you want for them? Now, again, it sucks because the fan experience will not be as intimate. But if you're a fan of the team, don't you want your team being given the best advantage to win consistently? And being up there does it for him.
Oh, that's just reality. You're talking about for the training camp. Yeah, not that you meant for paying more money.
Well, that's just reality, too.
I know. It's reality. I brought this up. And the one thing that I did forget to bring up to you earlier is someone brought up again the concession prices. Like, fine, if you're going to raise ticket prices year in and year out because of the cost of inflation or whatever, fine, but it is so out of whack, the cost of a hot dog compared to what you go to Portillo's and you pay for a really good hot dog. You know what I'm saying? A price of a pop or a price of a pretzel. It's like $6 or $7 for a pretzel. The beer prices are like $12. And you said, well, look, you're going to pay for it even in the ticket. But the one point that I did forget to bring up to you, and Ravel wrote about it, I just Googled it, that the point that the Falcons brought up, Falcons drop concession prices, make more money. They found a formula, the Falcons, where they significantly lowered the stadium cost, like 50% in the new stadium of the cost of food, and they sold X amount more. Therefore, the cost did not hurt them.
Lower price, more consumption.
So more consumption. They hit the sweet spot on where they sold the perfect amount where it didn't hurt them to lower the price. And that's where I do believe the Bears and the Park District and everybody and all these teams, the Cubs, the Sox, that it is so out of whack. It is so ridiculously cost that they can make it a better experience for the fans. Maybe fans who don't eat at the ballpark now would eat more. Maybe they would drink more.
Go to a concert. Go to a play. I mean, it's all it may be a little more expensive at the football game, but wherever you go.
The movie theater, I've always raged against it. The price of a movie theater popcorn and pop is so out of whack to what you pay at a regular restaurant. But I'm just saying, if there is a way now where people who don't normally consume a lot of the food because it's just such a ripoff, maybe they can lower the price, sell more, and make it a win-win for everybody.
But they're still going to get you for the ticket price. That's all part of the equation,
too.
They're
still going to get you with the ticket price, but they're still making a bigger profit on the food.
What ends up happening
at a lower price,
more people buy. So people that go to the games and don't want to spend $8 for a hot dog, they don't spend $8 there.
Right.
They will spend the money on it.
That's what I'm asking them to do.
Yes.
Do that. Do more of that. So a family of four who do have to pay $50 to get the parking spot, who do have to pay $95 a ticket for and then times four, and then now they want to feed their kids and they can't. There's got to be different ways. These teams wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't
profitable. I don't think they'd blindly do it. I think what they would do is they would protect themselves with raised ticket prices, see how things go. Because they're not going to sacrifice. Listen, you can ask for them to be, you know, as charitable as you want with this. They're not going to be. None of these teams are. I can guarantee that Falcons built it in.
Yeah, it's a money-making opportunity.
Right.
But I do think that if, like Ravel wrote in this piece from 2018, is they mentioned that they lowered the price by 50%. To coincide with the opening of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the AMB group announced their fan-first menu pricing. Unlimited Coca-Cola would cost $2. So too would a bottle of water, popcorn, a hot dog, and a pretzel. For $3 each, fans could get waffle fries, a slice of pizza, or nachos with cheese. Those prices included tax. No change would help serve to speed the ease of transaction. So everything would end at a dollar spot. The new stadium also had a 65% more points of sale and a 1,200 more beer taps than the Georgia Dome. And it goes on to say that they made more money by doing all this. They profited more.
How much did they raise tickets when they moved from the old building to the new building? And by the way, the old building was the Georgia Dome, which was not really that old.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. So Stephen Kant, I don't know about the tickets, but it said the CEO of Arthur Blank's holding company told ESPN that although food and beverage prices were 50% lower in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium than the prices in the Georgia Dome the previous year, fans spent 16% more.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, especially when the audience is captured 10 times a year. And you're not trying to get the volume up 81 times that I get a baseball stadium.
He says there's a huge value in delighting your fan base to make them as happy as they possibly could be. We started with one of the biggest pain points, and it paid off. So I'm just saying that's what these teams should research more of. If it is the cost of being a season ticket holder every year, if there is a way to also ease the cost in some different ways, do it. Bob's in Wheaton. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, so I'm a season ticket holder. Have been for many years. Now with all tickets being electronic and on your phone, they still felt the need to send us a nice, lovely package last year. I'm assuming to all season ticket holders. If they're really looking for a way to save money, we literally received a big, giant, huge metal box with two bobbleheads and a bunch of other nonsense in there.
Save honestly, the bobbleheads?
The bobbleheads were, I mean, that was cute and all, but what do I need that for? I can't imagine what they paid for postage to send this out to all the season ticket holders. That's got to be a huge expense for them.
It's interesting, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a frivolous cost that they think they're whining and dining you a little bit more, and he'd rather appreciate it.
Listen,
all of
these complaints are valid to me. When you get involved with professional sporting events, sadly, you are presented with exorbitant prices across the board. And if it doesn't fit your budget, there will be somebody else that will take your spot. That's the unfortunate reality.
But by the way, Merkin texted and he said, the Masters never raises prices. You were at the Masters, yeah. And what's like $2 for a hot dog?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
There's got to be a way. Peter's in Miami. He wants to give us a few tips for our trip to the Super Bowl next week. What's up, Peter?
Hi, guys.
Everything good?
Good. Everything's fine. I just got home. I had to pick up my son from school and everything, but I heard you guys are coming to Miami, which is very exciting for me because every time you guys do a remote show and I don't live in Chicago anymore and I can't attend, it kind of hurts me. So this is going to be my remote show for me. So,
all right.
About tips and everything. I talked to Adam last week. He said you guys are going to be in the convention center down in Miami Beach.
Right.
Literally the worst place to be in Miami, awesome. Especially for that occasion.
Well, we can't help it. That's where Radio Row is, Peter.
I know, but you want
to
avoid...
You know, Waddle said to us, hey, you know where we should go when we go to Miami? Let's hit the convention center.
No. But this is where... Now we're going to talk about the spots to... Once you finish the show, you have to leave that convention center. You got to leave the beach. You got to head down to Miami.
Well, isn't the convention center in Miami? We're not talking about the Fort Lauderdale Convention Center.
No. The convention center is in Miami Beach.
Okay.
We're staying in South Beach.
South Beach. Yeah, that's another black point of the situation. You're not going to enjoy yourself. You're going to see a lot of weird stuff. I'm just giving you a heads up.
So you're saying run for the hills? Is that what you're telling us?
The minute you finish the show, run for the hills, cross the causeway, the MacArthur, and go straight down to Miami downtown. Go to Brickell. You're going to hit a lot of spots there.
Okay. What about Lincoln? I heard Lincoln is a good, cool place on South Beach. No.
No. You're not. Sylvie, are you 16?
No, I went with my family on Lincoln. Yes. I thought there was a lot of good restaurants there.
No. Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No. I'll get in touch with Abdallah. He said that you guys are going to be on Twitter and everything. Yeah. But I need my Waddle jersey signed.
Okay.
This is a sham to get your jersey signed.
No, I want my Waddle jersey signed. Now that you guys are coming to Miami, I want my Waddle jersey signed.
All right. We'll
make that happen for you, Peter. Definitely.
Peter's telling us where we're staying and where we're working is not the place to be.
I mean, I could imagine some of that is somewhat accurate for sure.
All right. 9 years ago today, I want everyone, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you can sort of use your brain, think about what you were talking about 9 years ago today. It is probably in the 13 years of us doing this show, and it is nearly our anniversary. In 13 years of doing this show, 9 years ago today was probably the most controversial time we've ever had. That's coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
You remember what today was?
It was the day after the NFC title game.
It was. It was, I was going through my Facebook. You know, they always give you the anniversary stuff, and I always used to put on Facebook what we were talking about. Someone posted on my page from 9 years ago today, Jay Quitler. like the, remember the national narrative about this? I think we had Deion Sanders on 9 years ago today. If Merck's listening, Merck would remember. He was our executive producer, and he really got nasty. Deion Sanders got nasty against Jay. A lot of people, you know, remember the takes. Back when I played, if I had a knee injury, you would have to carry me off on a stretcher. There's no way.
There's a lot of that talk. A
lot of that talk. It was probably the show that I'll, maybe not, like, because the day after the, when the Cubs won the World Series was quite memorable, and there are some other ones, but as far as controversy is concerned, that day after that show, that was something.
Very polarizing environment.
It lasted for a month. I mean, it lasted for many times, about.
Lasted until today.
Yeah, I mean, for the people with the body language stuff, and some people probably still hold a grudge against Cutler about that.
Well, I think it was about, a lot of it was about his ability to walk up a flight of stairs at Mastro's, I think, afterwards.
Yeah, they went to Mastro's, him and Kristen.
I mean.
And someone saw them walking.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's a good indication of how bad an MCL tear you have, but.
The best callers, and we still get them to this day, are the diabetes callers. Those are still my favorite. Like how he was worse at
and
night.
Not to make light of it, because it's
diabetes.
A very serious
no, it is. My
condition.
My mom has type 2 diabetes.
But people, my dad, yeah.
But
my
people used to call.
Yeah, my mom has type 2 diabetes, and just like Jay, she throws 4 interceptions at night. You know, when it's a night game, it's fine.
Let's pretend you're screening my call, okay? I'm calling into the talk show, okay? Pick up the phone.
ESPN.
Hi. I got a theory here about Jay Cutler that I want to tell Waddle about.
Okay, what is it?
Well, that sounds like standard of diet.
No, it is.
I'd like to tell Waddle about the theory about the Jay Cutler and why he throws so many interceptions.
Why do you think that is, sir?
Okay, well, am I on the air now?
No, you got to tell me first before I let you. Yeah.
Listen, when that championship game happened, and it happened in a lot of the other games, you remember the San Francisco game?
I do.
It was a night game, a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then this game, it was quite cloudy and dark.
Mm-hmm.
I think the darker it gets, the worse the vision gets. My grandfather had diabetes. He couldn't see well at night.
All right.
So I don't think that Jay can see the defender because his low blood sugar and the vision.
Okay,
made
you would have
throw
cut this call off 30 seconds
ago. Because I let them go, and usually, like when it first
that's
happened,
where he says, "Thanks for calling. I'll pass it along."
Thanks for calling. I'll pass it along to the guys.
So when guys call in now or gals call in now, and they hear that from you, they know that they're going to the caller trash bin.
I tell you guys everything.
Hey, thanks for calling.
That's
I'll let the guys know.
If you call the show,
and if Abdallah says to you, "Thanks," I'll pass it along.
You're going.
Know that
bin.
Waddle and I have never
that's
gotten
so
anything
lies.
Passed along
lies.
To us in our lives.
No, no.
The I'll pass it along in the producer lingo is the same as when you're getting broken up with and someone says, it's not you, it's me. That's what that is. It's not you, it's me. It's a soft way of letting them down.
But now it's come full circle. It's like Borat. It was really funny that it wasn't funny. It was played out. Now it's funny again. I'll let the diabetes
now
callers
through.
I'll let the diabetes callers through for sure. If you mispronounce Trubisky and say Trubinsky, you're getting right on.
That's right.
Front of the line.
Do you see why Jay's so much friendlier in Nashville? There's more sunlight. It's warmer. The diabetes and the effects.
Nightfall does occur in Nashville, sir.
Well, but it's not. You see how dreary it was today with dark all day.
He's got one of those diabetic pumps now, probably.
The sad reality is there were a ton of those calls.
Oh, yeah. Rob tweets us. He says, guys, we've had tickets in the south end zone for Bears games since 2000. In 2000, they were $35 each. Our tickets will now likely be $104 each. That's threefold higher over 20 years. And we have no choice but to buy tickets to watch club players play preseason games, reaching my limit.
Well, you do have a choice, to be honest with you. And again, not to be callous. But when you get into this business of being a season ticket holder or going to games, you do realize that you're treated like a customer, not a lifelong supporter of the team. Just that's reality. So I get it. And this is like there'll be a 10-day, I think, period where everyone is pissed. and everyone will get it off their chest. And then they'll realize that this is the only way that business is done in professional sports, and you're either in or you're out. And if you're out, somebody else will be in. Doesn't mean your complaining is invalid. It's valid complaining.
Right.
But this is just the nature of the beast. Listen, I don't want to pay $1,000 for another phone. I really don't. The option is not to buy another iPhone. I don't want to pay $11 for Netflix. The option is
Uber fees just went up in Chicago. Right. We're still going to take Uber.
So there's stuff
that you just say to yourself, it sucks and I'm going to bellyache about it.
That's right.
I'm going to complain because it makes me feel better.
Right.
Therapeutic.
And then you still keep going. And again, I think that's healthy. So I'm encouraging people to belch this all out. But just know...
The other thing is, we can get mad about it,
but the reality is there is a price, whatever it happens to be, where people will not go.
Yes.
And they have not reached anywhere near that price.
They have done that math. Every team has.
Fat Mike and Worth, you're on ESPN
1000. I saw Fat Mike earlier today. Took a picture with him. Fat Mike, it was great to meet you.
Hey, yeah, it was awesome, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you so much earlier.
You got it.
The diabetes thing is hysterical. I love every second of it. But in all actuality, what it boils down to is that Jay Cutler had how many offensive coordinators and how many offensive coordinators did he go through in the time that he was here? That's what it all boils down to.
I'm with you, Fat Mike.
I love you, and it was a pleasure to take a picture with you today and meet you. Where'd you see him? In the lobby of the building.
Hey, did you guys get the coffees?
The what coffee?
I didn't get a coffee.
Did you buy it?
I brought in coffees earlier. The guy at the desk.
I saw all of them. I didn't get one of those.
Why were you in the building today, Fat Mike?
I was in the area. Somebody tried buying me out. I told him no.
He's got a pooper scooper business, right, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good business because you'll always need those.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody tried buying me out earlier. I told them no.
That's right.
I was in the area. I brought in six coffees. Obviously,
I didn't get one, Mike.
You bought who six coffees?
The station.
All you guys at the place there.
What? Oh. Someone stole our coffee?
Yeah, it was sitting on the counter at the in the front. I saw it. I didn't know it was. You didn't say anything about it. I didn't think it was.
You drink coffee from Fat Mike, though, would you?
Yes.
What? Why not? What's wrong with my coffee?
There's trust issues. I'm not saying that.
Wow, Fat Mike. You didn't hear that from me, Fat Mike.
Fat Mike, that
didn't come from me.
We didn't say that. I'll drink his coffee.
You know what, Fat Mike? If you want to bring coffee every day, I'll drink the coffee.
We'll take it, Mike.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Sylvie.
Send me 20 bucks a day.
You're cut out now.
No, I'm sorry.
You're cut out now.
Happy New Year, Fat Mike.
When I get a dog again, I will buy one of your pooper scoopers, though.
No, he comes to your house and does it.
He comes to your house and does it.
I was a nice guy earlier, and I brought in six hot Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Yeah, I love you, Mike.
And now you shake it down.
Yeah.
You know why, Mike?
Because he's got the diabetes. And it's dark out. And you know what? He's making bad decisions because he's got diabetes and it's dark and it's late.
Thank you, Waddle. You're welcome. See you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's got a business that he cleans up. Here's Tom.
I want to go to Tom. Tom in Orland. Tommy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. I love your show, but you know Nagy's never going to win until he gets that mustache, right?
We should do the Most Chicago Calls one show where we do. Are you doing this as a bit, or do you believe that the facial hair truly factors into our team?
Yeah, Quinlan, Dicka, you know, Phil Jackson, we all need a mustache.
Ozzie had a mustache.
Joe Maddon had facial hair the year they won the World Series.
Did you call Joel Quinville Quinnen?
Quinlan, I think.
Quinlan, okay. Just making sure. But that's great because Trubisky's Trubinsky and Quinville is Quinlan.
Trubisky needs to shave the facial hair.
Maybe he needs to be more accurate.
Dan's in Western Springs.
And not open up too much and let the ball sail. He needs to do less of that.
What's up, Danny?
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
My coming back to the ticket prices.
Sure.
What percent of these tickets are actually going to individual fans? Me and my buddies had tickets a couple of years ago. We dropped them. We get tickets from work. We take out clients. We don't care how much a beer is. We don't care how much a hot dog is because we'll just charge it to the company. My guess in Chicago, one of the smallest stadiums with a huge fan base, A lot of these tickets are just bought by companies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess there are some of those in the suites, but a lot of these season ticket holders are guys who passed it along from generation to generation, from Wrigley Field to Soldier Field to the new Soldier Field.
I feel like the company tickets are more of like a Cubs, White Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks things. Now, no one wants to take a client to a game in possible 20-degree weather. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm saying the suite tickets probably.
Yeah, the suite tickets are probably more likely.
Yeah. All right, 312-332-3776. We played the Jimmy game earlier. I've got squares for all of our listeners to win big prizes in our square pool. So since we played the Jimmy game for Jimmy Garoppolo earlier, we have a trivia. It's called the Patrick game for Pat Mahomes. We are playing the Patrick game next. Every fifth caller, starting with caller 5 up to caller 50, will get to play. 312-332-3776. That's coming up next.
Join Northwestern basketball at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. The Cats host Ohio State Sunday at 5:30. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Go Cats.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Got some trivia for everyone. We're giving away squares for the Super Bowl, and we've got a ski trip to give away. It's been a tradition on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Also, gift cards to Lou Malnati's. Also, a gift card to Dutch and Doc's. If you get one of the quarters with your squares correct, where your number matches each team, you get two numbers, one square. You know how a square pool works.
Square, the spare a square thing we have done. We've also, one of our things to do is give away ski trips. We do that quite a bit.
Yeah, they're good. So this time we're giving you a trip to Granite Peak Ski Resort with a two-night stay. So this is in Wausau. This should be a lot of fun.
Four complimentary lift passes as well.
Yes. So 312-332-3776. When we're done, I also want to get to more news on Markkanen. Markkanen is out 4 to 6 weeks. But Casey is telling us, Casey Johnson, who works for NBC Sports Chicago now, that this may be precautionary, which I don't get. I don't understand why you'd miss 4 to 6 weeks as a precaution. Do you know what I mean?
That's quite a precautionary stretch.
Yeah. So earlier today, we played the Jimmy game based on Jimmy Garoppolo. So now it's fair is fair. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback.
By the way, we did get a guy that responded with a picture of the two of us with Jimmy Butler, and he had never won the big game. So we did actually give him, we made good for him.
We made that good.
Just so everybody knows, we're on the up and up.
We will always be straight up if we've got something wrong. We'll make it right for
you. Right.
So this is the Patrick game. So you heard the Jimmy game earlier. This is the Patrick game. That is your hint for every single answer here to win a square. Joe in Mokena, you are contestant number one. You think you know how this is going to go, Joe?
I hope.
Okay. Question number one here. You get it right, you get a square. You get it wrong, you go off on your Friday and enjoy your weekend. Sound
Thank
good?
You. Yes.
Here it is. This broadcaster hosted The Big Show with his friend Keith. This broadcaster hosted The Big Show with his friend Keith.
Howard Cosell?
Joe, what's the name of the game again?
That was good, though, because you were thinking of Keith Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you were thinking.
So you should have qualified that question a little bit better.
Well, he did. It's the Patrick game, Joe. Patrick's in the name.
This isn't the Patrick game.
Yeah, it is. This is the Patrick game.
The Patrick game.
What do you mean
it's not the Patrick game?
What do you mean?
He's trying to tell you what the game is.
Come on, Joe.
I blame Sylvie for making these too hard.
Hold on. Right? I want to double back to Joe.
Let's try this again.
Give him a second one.
Give him a second chance.
Come up with another one that I don't have, and let's see if we can get him.
Oh, don't ask Abdallah because it's going to be way too easy.
Alex, are you confused or do you know the direction we're going here?
I think I get it.
Okay. We're playing the Patrick game. He was just celebrated in Chicago for number 1,000. He was just celebrated in Chicago for number 1,000.
That would be Patrick Kane.
There you go. See how this works?
Come on, guys.
Thanks for being a leader, Alex.
Mike on Lakeshore Drive. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, guys.
All right, we're playing the Patrick game. She's seeing green and gold as she moves to Malibu with her boyfriend. She's seeing green and gold as she moves to Malibu with her boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
Vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom.
We're playing the Patrick game.
Vroom, vroom.
I have no clue.
You, no guess. Waddle just gave you an additional hint.
Yep.
10-2. Drive your car fast.
Give that question. See if Joe knows the answer to that one. See if Joe knows the answer.
Hey, Joe and Mokina.
Dan, it's Patrick.
Yeah. Say it again, Joe. Say it again.
Danica Patrick.
Very good.
Packers suck.
Packers suck. You're right.
Right, hold on. We'll give you a square, Joe. Good job. I like Joe. Howard Cosell.
It's not the Patrick.
I know what he was thinking, though. His friend Keith. He was thinking about Keith Jackson and Patrick Cosell. That's not a good thing when I'm actually thinking on the same wavelength as him.
Tom in Kenosha. Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
You think you know these? Have you gotten most of these yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Here we go. Your question is, this player was drafted number one after the first ever NBA lottery. This player was drafted number one after the first ever NBA lottery.
I believe it was Patrick Ewing.
That is correct.
See how easy this is, Tom. Chris in St. Charles. Hi, Chris.
How are you guys?
Here we go. Are you... Well, I don't want to give you an extra hint here. Are you a baseball fan?
A little bit?
All right. Well, here's your clue. Get out the tape measure. This one is long gone. Get out the tape measure. This one is long gone.
I don't have it.
Don't have it? I guess not. All right. Waddle, do you know that one?
Is it Pat Hughes?
That is Pat Hughes. That's a signature call. Get out the tape measure. Bill on the South Side. Hi, Billy.
What's going on, gentlemen?
We're playing for a square in our square pool. We're playing the Patrick game. Here's your clue. Hit me with your best shot. Hit me with your best shot as we play the Patrick game.
I got to be honest. I have no idea.
That one's a little sketchy.
What is it?
Well,
I know her name is
Pat
Patrick.
Benatar.
Right.
But Patricia is not. Listen, it's your game.
We had some controversy.
We could circle back and give him a square if you guys deem that one unfair. I'm good with that. Dan's in Lockport. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. Here's your clue. We're playing the Patrick game. This guy will defend the Q ceremony, and if you don't agree, he'll puck you. This guy will defend the Q ceremony, and if you don't agree with him, he'll puck you.
Careful.
The Patrick game.
Good time. It's going to be a good time.
3 seconds here.
Good time. Good time.
Dan Patrick.
No.
You would have gotten the first one with the Big Show. Did we ever pay off that answer?
No, we didn't say Dan Patrick.
With Keith Olbermann.
Man.
Do you know this one? Was this too hard?
Oh, good time, Patty Boyle? No.
Yeah,
Pat Boyle. Everybody knows Pat Boyle.
This one may be a little tougher. Sean, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sean?
What's up there, guys?
How's your winning percentage so far in the Patrick game?
That last one was the first one I missed there. It was a real tough one you got there.
Okay. Yeah, that's an inside joke there. All right, so here's more sort of pop culture. How old are you?
33.
All right,
33.
So you may be young here. This man taught Daniel's son his winning move and how to cut a bonsai tree. This man taught Daniel's son his winning move and how to cut a bonsai tree.
Oh, boy.
That's a tough one.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
That's a tough one.
It's tough for the younger generation, right, Waddle?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. How about a clue there, Doc Tommy?
He was also in Happy Days.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Huh.
No clue. You never saw The Karate Kid? Have you ever seen The Karate Kid?
When I was younger.
Daniel's son? Sorry.
Pat Morita.
They're not all supposed to be so easy. Look.
How many are left?
Two more.
I have a clue for somebody if you need another one.
Here's Anthony. Anthony, this game show host is from Chicago and will ask you to give it a spin.
The Wheel of Fortune guy, he just had a...
he had a blockage.
A block foul. Pat.
Yeah.
I can't get the last name. Tommy, help me out here.
Come on. You got it on the tip of your tongue.
Come on. Hey, I know
you
I do.
You got the Pat part right, boys.
Anthony, stop jacking around.
Anthony,
stop
listen.
Jacking around.
Anthony, listen to me closely.
Jack with you today.
Say it.
Settle down just a little bit.
Correct the mundo. All right, Kevin and Lyle. This may be a little tougher, so if he doesn't get mine, you can give him yours.
He may not get this one.
Let's try it.
Here we go, Kevin. This man was the star of one of Waddle's favorite movies, Roadhouse, Dirty Dancing, and Ghost.
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Amen, brother. Nice. Very well done. Is that the one you were going to get?
No, I didn't.
Do you want to add one more caller? I could pick up a call. Hi, who's this?
This is Bill from the Southside.
Bill ain't going to get this. Bill, he lives at the bottom of the ocean with his crazy friend, Bob.
Patrick
the starfish. That works.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Patrick game.
Yeah, come on. Give the man a square.
Woo.
Hold on.
Well done. I didn't think he'd get that.
He just can't answer Patrick and be correct in the Patrick game.
Yes, he did.
All right. I tried to come up with a game today. I came up with the Jimmy and the Patrick game.
It was very good.
And Pat Benatar may have been a little sketchy because she isn't named Patrick.
Patricia would have.
Right.
But, you know, technicalities.
So is Lauri Markkanen hurt or is he not really hurt? I'll give you some more info that we're just getting in coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So Lauri Markkanen, the Bulls released, is out 4 to 6 weeks. And there's tweets from Casey, who covers the team. He's on NBC Sports Chicago. He's really good at what he does. He used to work for the Tribune. And he tweeted this out an hour ago. Lauri Markkanen just walked into the United Center looking normal. Way this has initially been described to me is this move is to prevent stress fracture, that there's wear and tear. What the Bulls called, quote, early stress reaction that showed up in the MRI and called concern. Here's another sign that, and then he goes on to tweet 41 minutes ago. Here's another sign that this Markkanen move is largely precautionary. Told that if this were playoffs, he'd be playing.
Playoffs.
And as recently as this morning, Markkanen insisted he could play tonight. The one benefit to this, Casey adds, the rest will give his ankle time to heal.
I didn't know he had an ankle injury.
So,
4 to 6 weeks is a lot of time away.
For something preventative? I mean,
I don't know.
It sounds like if that could lead to a stress fracture, then yeah, it sounds like something that you would
Listen, I'm looking for a feasible and a believable and an acceptable explanation for why Lowry hasn't been the player this year that everyone expected him to be. To me, that's most important. And if it's this injury, then, or this situation, at least in some strange way, it's almost comforting to know that he just hasn't regressed as a player. But I don't know that you can connect those dots.
So if you're just getting into your car, Markkanen has been ruled out 4 to 6 weeks. Wendell Carter is out. Otto Porter is out. Daniel Gafford is out. So there are some Bulls fans who believe they're just going to blame injuries and they won't make major changes. We will see the way this season continues to go.
They got to be close to being in the lot top or whatever part of the lottery, aren't they? I mean, well, I know they're only a couple games out. But
seventh.
They're only 2.5 games out. At last point, they were seventh. I don't think he was lying there.
They're always seventh.
That's crazy.
Patrick Kane was on with Cap earlier today. He was very good. And he talked about Joel Quenneville's return to the United Center.
Well, it was just an amazing night, you know, starting with the 1,000-point ceremony, you know, having my family on the ice and sharing that with them. And, you know, we knew we had Q in town and he was going to get some type of tribute. And obviously the reaction from the crowd was pretty amazing. I mean, he's an icon in Chicago and he's done so much for the city as far as winning hockey and being such a good coach and winning 3 Stanley Cups, but also being a great mentor for a lot of us. You know, he really helped us develop into the players that we are today. When you think of guys like Dunks and Siebes and myself and Taser and Crow, we loved him as a coach. So it was great to see him on the other side, and a little bit weird, but kind of skated up to him after his video tribute and was like, Joel, you're stealing my thunder, man. Like, this is supposed to be my night. But he had a good chuckle out of that, and he's just a great guy. You know, we caught up with him after the game a little bit, and happy to see he's doing well down in Florida.
We all saw that video when they all caught up with him in the hallway.
It was nice.
Kane also talked about registering 1,000 points. This was one of the trivia questions we just had.
Yeah, I think that's special, too. I mean, you don't see, like you said, too many players play their career with one team. I always say I've been very fortunate. I was fortunate to be drafted by the Blackhawks. I think they were maybe a fifth worst team in the league when they won the lottery. So it wasn't like they were really starting from scratch. You know, we had some good pieces in place with guys like Duncan Seeves and Taser got drafted the year before. Guys like Sharp they traded for. So I was coming into a good situation where there's a pretty good team in place, and I was put in a role where I could be myself and be an offensive player and be counted on in those situations. So I think that helped me. But yeah, I think you just kind of want to keep adding to that resume, keep getting better. Like I said before, still having fun playing hockey, so keep having fun and try to help this team get to the playoffs in the second half here.
So there's Patrick Kane.
It was a good get.
Yeah.
Good to have Patrick Kane on the show.
Yes. I was also, I'm scrolling through Twitter, Abdallah. I don't know if you've seen this, but I guess Jim Boylan just met the media, and he was asked the question about Lauri Markkanen, and he was asked directly if this was precautionary, and he said no. I don't know what the hell is going on there. Do you guys, can you guys help me?
I know, that's why
I mean, we have an idea. We've seen it play out now for over multiple years.
Here's the quote.
Press conference was going to be.
This is from Eric Woodyard. Bulls coach Jim Boylan says Lauri Markkanen's pelvis injury was discovered after he started complaining about discomfort over the last few days. So the whole like few weeks of him saying he's playing through something, isn't this injury. His goal is to play 82 games. Quote from Boylan, this is not something that we're going to have him fight through. He wants to play. So obviously it doesn't seem precautionary. According to Boylan, who is obviously with it and on the same page as the rest of the Bulls staff.
Don't know.
So they also talked about an ankle, right?
That's what Casey said.
Yeah. Casey said, here's another sign that Markkanen's move is largely precautionary. Told if this were the playoffs, he'd be playing.
Well, he actually played, I mean, 30
no
plus minutes.
No need to worry about the playoffs.
His last game was actually a good game.
Right.
18 did he have last game for him?
I think
game
he had
20?
And I think he played, what did he play, 34 minutes? I think his last He played 34 minutes in the win over Minnesota. He played 31 in the loss to Milwaukee, 33 in the win over Cleveland. So, I mean, he's logged, and he's only averaging 30 minutes per game this year, 30.3. So he actually was exceeding his season average over the last three games. It's like everything else happening
so you've got
these
a
days.
Team
it's
where,
confusing.
Where players would get hurt left and right when Thibodeau would leave them in too long because he didn't believe in load management. And now you've got a team that's getting hurt left and right when they're being load managed. I think it's just the Bulls. I think it's just a Bulls thing. It's not a rest thing. It's not a load management thing. It's just a Bulls thing.
It's a Bulls thing. You put on that uniform these days.
Listen, he's the key to whatever success they're going to have going forward.
Yeah.
And if this doesn't get better, whether it comes back after 4 to 6 weeks and it looks a lot better or there's more of this, it ain't going to get any better because he's an enormous piece to their puzzle.
Here's what I don't want to happen. Them saying, hey, Lowry's out and now Thaddeus Young is going to get a lot of minutes and now we can't trade him because who else do we have to play at the four? They better trade Thaddeus Young and get something for him.
Well,
get an asset back.
Put Robert Horry out there.
That's a good line right there. Doug Kazarian, the only guest we needed. And speaking of good gambling advice, the Odds Couple coming up next. Carmen DeFalco and Mike North. Northeast good buddy. And our buddy, Fred Huebner, live and local at 7 o'clock. Thank you to Meller and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
Fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.